Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12 beginning. And I realize that we've had a little longer worship service tonight than normal, but I've tried to be conscientious of the fact that we are pressed for time, and yet I also want you to be conscientious of eternity.
Why, sure.
And I think that's only fair, that the preacher is conscious of time and that the saints and all of you are responsible and you are aware of the fact that eternity is important to somebody here tonight. You see, I have my own family here tonight, and they're important to me. I'd like to see them saved, and if this message I'm going to preach tonight helps them to get closer to God, well, I want to put everything I've got into it.
Hallelujah.
You've heard Brother Foss tell the story of his own son on a Wednesday night after church, and all the young people went out for refreshments, and Brother Foss went home after preaching a message that he had not really thought was top-notch. He just preached, and it was over, you know. And he went home, and he got a call from the law enforcement and asked him if his son drove such and such a car, if his name was such and such. And he said yes, and they asked him to come down to the station. He went down, and his son had had a wreck and was killed. And he went to his son's Bible and found the notes of that night's service. That boy had taken notes on his daddy's sermon. And it taught him that no service is ordinary. No service is just run-of-the-mill. Let's hurry up and get through. You know, that's not the way it is.
Hallelujah.
I admit that 30 minutes is probably long enough for a good sermon and too long for a bad, unless you're thinking about eternity. And then it may be that just that last-ditch effort would bring somebody to God.
Hallelujah.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so let's just approach it from that standpoint tonight. I believe God will help me.
Thank you.
Be through here in time. And the men said unto Lot, these were the angels that had come to visit in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And I'm going to preach tonight. Is there anybody else out there?
Oh, God.
And that's an understatement. That's so shallow, but that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Is there anybody else out there? God bless you, and I appreciate your prayers for me tonight. You may be seated.
Bless God. Lord.
Without any reflection on the church that I pastor or the city where I pastor, I think sometimes that we Pentecostals get in our minds that we've burned the town over.
Mm-hmm.
That is so vain to think that.
That's right.
People say, we burned this town over. If you knew the people in this city that had never heard the name of Jesus.
That's right.
If you knew the people in this town that had never bowed their knee to pray at all, and you say, well, that's not what I'm saying. Do you realize that we have not touched this town? And if we were to go every day to every house in this city, we'd still have to go back the next day.
Oh, God.
Souls are that important, and there are that many people moving in and people moving out. And a city as big as Pine Bluff, you're never going to reach everybody in this town. I hope you never get to thinking you did.
That's right.
There's somebody else still out there. Of course, you know, the request is made in these normal prayer requests. You say, all right, sister. And she says, I want you to remember. And she calls off the name of her family, those that are unsaved. And that's all that they seem to be thinking about. I'm sure they're aware of others that are lost. But a lot of times we think only of those that we can call their names. We know their birthdays. And we know how they're related to us and all this business. But do you know, there are a lot of folks out there that don't have anybody tonight that's praying for them.
Amen. That's right.
They don't have anybody else out there that's praying for them tonight. Nobody's ever asked them to go to church. Not anybody with any love and any concern has ever said, why don't you go to church tonight? A few months ago, well, a year ago now it's been, a young fellow that had gone to our church before and had at one time had the Holy Ghost and backslid. He was called out to work that night. It was about 8 o'clock in the evening. He had been called back to work, and on his way back, they feel sure that the other fella intended to commit suicide. He was in a brand new pickup truck, and he was flying just absolutely at a high rate of speed right in the middle of the road. And he topped one of those hills on Highway 82 between El Dorado and Crossett, and he hit Noel head on, and both of them were killed instantly. I went to the funeral home with the family, and that boy's daddy stood there and told me, he said, I begged that boy during our revival, said, I begged him to go to church. And he said, Daddy, don't bug me about church anymore.
No, Lord.
Well, there are people like that in this world. There are boys whose parents are in the church, and they pray, and they fast, and they read their Bibles, and they have a Christian home. And that boy may not want you bugging them, but I want to tell you, there are people out there that have never had anybody to ask them, why don't you come go to church with me tonight?
Oh, God.
We spend a lot of our time running the same little beaten trail, familiar path, and saying, would you go to church with me tonight? We give our yo-yos, Brother Rutledge, to the same little crew all the
That's
time,
right.
But there are people who've never got a yo-yo for going to Sunday school because somebody never asked them to go.
Oh, God. My Lord.
But there are people out there who need to get right with God. I think of my own problems. When I was in school, I got the Holy Ghost when I was a senior, 17 years old, just a few months left of school. And I don't remember ever inviting any of those kids to church. Without any reflection on my daddy, he didn't preach for us to invite people to church. He may have said it, but I didn't get it in my craw. I'll try to put it in everybody I preach to. I'll try to get it in their minds. You're supposed to ask people to go to church. You're supposed to take them to church. When you get them there, you're supposed to be friendly to them. Or when they come in the house of the Lord, everybody ought to give them a warm handshake and treat them right. But I wasn't really schooled in that. We thought, you know, here's our old church. Everybody knows where we are. Let them come if they want to.
Oh,
but there are people who never had a chance to go to a Pentecostal church and hear a great message preached.
Amen. Oh, God, preach it.
I'm not going to try to shake you folks over hell tonight, but I want God to talk to us before we leave here tonight. There's somebody else out there that's still lost, and they may be saved if tomorrow you could get the burden and go to them and say, I want you to come to church. Would it be all right to tell you tonight? I was thinking the other day, I don't know if I had forgotten it to get my hands. I don't know whether I had forgotten where the face had come from, but I kept seeing a face in this church. Monday night, I kept seeing the face of a young man, and I couldn't put a person on him. I didn't know who he was. It was there, but that face was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove up with Brother Rutledge. We went up toward the pet shop. I can't get my thinking going.
Jones.
And while I was there, Brother Jones and carried us back to show us the new addition on the store. And while we were there, it dawned on me who I was thinking about. And I said, hey, how about your boy? And he told me that his son was just coming to Sunday school. Well, that's all right. You know, you can just forget about that. But it meant something to me because I missed that face.
Sure.
It's just good tonight that he's still alive and that he's still breathing, or at least he was this afternoon sometime. But I want to tell you something. It may be that tomorrow that boy will be beyond our reach, beyond our grasp. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that we can spend so many leisure hours and forget that there's somebody that's still lost out there, and we're the ones who are supposed to try to save that soul.
My Lord.
And I don't know, I wanted to talk to him, and they asked us if we would just visit with him, so we went over for a few minutes and invited him to church. We didn't go into a lot of detail, but David knew why we were there.
Right.
That boy knew what we were there for. He knew that we were concerned about his soul and whatever his reaction to it might have been. It's all right, but I wanted him to know that I'd like for him to be in the house of the Lord. It's not because I think I'm a great preacher and I'd like for him to hear me, but it's because I want that boy's soul to be saved. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Amen.
I'm reminded of a story that I read of a dad that had carried his daughters on vacation to a ski resort. And it was probably the second or the third trip that day for all of these ski lifts to go up the gondolas and down into the, or up to the place where they would let their passengers off, and then they'd take their run down the side of the mountain. But as they had many times, those little cars with those little pulley wheels on them had gone, rode that cable over those various high poles out there. There was something that was unusual taking place, and nobody had ever thought about it happening. But the cable had got frayed, and every time a car would go across it, it would pull it a little farther, and finally that thing snapped. The dad had already let his two daughters and their friends get on one of those ski lifts, and he was in the lodge. He wasn't worried about it, but he heard there was an accident. Actually, what happened when the cables broke, every car that was between the next two poles fell to the ground. And in the process, there were a number of people that were killed. But the daddy, you know, just thinking, and this is the way we think sometimes. And I look at my boy, Jim Ed, and that's a precious boy. And honest, I don't want to put things in his mind, but maybe I'm not the kind of daddy I ought to be to him, because sometimes I'm worried. And I remember one time when I was a younger pastor, and I was just a young daddy, in fact, and my boy was just getting old enough to want to fly a kite. I was standing out in the pasture one windy day, and I had a kite. It was Jim Ed's kite. It wasn't mine. I never owned one in my life, but it was Jim Ed's. And I had that kite almost out of sight. Me and him were experiencing this thrill for the very first time together. That kite was almost out of sight, and that tug on that line was just invigorating. I was thinking, boy, this is the thing on windy days to fly kites. And then I looked and I thought, what if some of the saints came by and saw me out here? And I don't know how you feel about Brother Rutledge or me or anybody else, but I'm going to tell you something. Our children are important too.
Right.
And I thought, well, what if somebody don't like it, me being out here in the middle of the day playing with this kite with my boy? But then it dawned on me, I've got to save that boy. And if I don't provide for him, I'm worse than an infidel.
Right.
But we can get the feeling like, well, ours are going to be saved. But I'm telling you, it's not necessarily true. There's many a pastor that lost his children while he tried to save everybody else's. He was spending time counseling other young people, and he was losing his own because he took it for granted that they were going to be saved. And I'm telling you, mamas and daddies, there have been many a saint that lost their young people while they were trying to save somebody else's. And then there have been those who absolutely didn't care enough to even try to save their own.
Oh, God. My Lord.
There are mamas and daddies that don't go to church enough for their kids to ever get the taste in their mouth. And they shout the victory if they ever get the chance to say, I got the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't follow anybody that wasn't faithful to the church.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I don't know whether I ought to be evangelizing or not, but I'm preaching this to you tonight.
All right.
Amen. If you want your children to be saved, you better care about their soul and the example that you leave for them.
That's right.
But this daddy's thinking like we Pentecostals. He was thinking, you know, my daughters are all right. They probably weren't on those cars. And so he went down to help in the rescue operation. And they worked hours on end in the snow. They worked and they pulled. They would open up those old mangled ski lift cars. They would open the doors on them, and sometimes they would pull people out gasping for breath and spitting up blood running out their ears, their nose, their eyes, and they would pull them out and try to save them, and they were losing people. They were bringing them out dead and crushed and just broke all to pieces. And that daddy worked furiously. And finally, just before the sun went down, he didn't even know that his own daughters, one had been badly broken and the other had been killed. And he was over there trying to help others, and his own daughters had been hauled away. But just before the sun went down, and this is so touching to me, somebody picked up a bullhorn and started down under those cars that were still dangling up in the sky. They felt sure that they had already got everybody out of those things. But somebody took that bullhorn and went walking off down through the cold snow just before the sun went down and saying, is anybody else up there? Has everybody got out? Is there anybody else up there? And the writer was so dramatic. He carried that man with the bullhorn out of my sight on the pages of that book. Walked him right on into the darkness of that setting sun. He walked him right on out there, screaming, is there anybody else up there? And I think, oh Lord, that should be the cry of the church every Wednesday night and every Thursday morning. It should be us who are saying, is there anybody else out there that needs to be saved? I'm here to save that person if I can. I'm here to reach that person if I can.
My Lord. My Lord.
I believe it's important
Yes.
That we as saints of God get concerned about those people that are dying lost out there in the world.
Right.
I'm talking about people who are buried in denominationalism that does not preach the full truth of the Word of God.
Right.
I'm talking about people who have gone through Orthodox religion without ever thinking that there's a Jesus who died and gave us a gospel that's got to be preached.
Oh,
and I'm telling you, the responsibility is in your hands.
Right.
Matthew 28:19 said, go into all the world and teach all nations. And it's your responsibility to teach those nations.
Right. That's the truth.
Hallelujah.
You're preaching, God.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is there anybody else out there? You see, the Bible said that there was a rich man who fared sumptuously.
Mm-hmm.
And he was arrayed in royal apparel. And the Bible doesn't say anything bad about that rich man. Go back to your Bible and see what I'm telling you in
right.
Luke chapter 16. The Bible doesn't say there was a horrible rich man who was so mean that people couldn't stand to be around him.
Oh.
And he was such a sinner that they thought that he was the daddy of the mafia. They didn't say that about him. It just said there was a rich man who fared sumptuously and was arrayed in fine linen. And there was a beggar named Lazarus that was laid at his gate daily. And he begged for the crumbs from the rich man's table.
Oh, God.
And you've assumed all along that that rich man probably was so mean that he'd walk through the gate and step right on the top of Lazarus and say, you old beggar, I wish you'd get out of my way. But I want to tell you, we think it's going to take some drastic action on our part to send us to hell. But the Bible said that the man that offends, the man that's guilty of transgressing one point of the law, is going to be guilty of transgressing the whole law. And I tell you tonight, I don't care how little your sin is or how big your sin is, if you've got sin in your life, it's going to send you to hell.
Oh, God.
Amen.
Oh, God.
I don't know what the rich man did, but he did something wrong.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. He did nothing, maybe. Oh, God.
Maybe he didn't do anything. That's right. Maybe he just didn't do nothing. I preached that a night or two ago here, didn't I?
Right.
But the Bible said that Lazarus died and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Now, you can get all this in pretty pictures if you want to, but let me preach this to you.
Preach it.
The Bible said he was carried to Abraham's bosom. And then the Bible said, and the rich man died also and was buried. And the Bible says, in hell, he lifted his eyes.
Amen.
There's something strange that we are not aware of. A lot of people really don't believe that there's a literal burning hell. If they did and they believed that eternity was near and they believed the end of time was near, they'd get on their knees right now while I'm preaching and they'd cry out to God and say, save me from that burning place. But you don't believe there's a hell. And if you do believe it, you don't believe you're going. But I'm telling you, if you got one spot or one wrinkle or one blemish or any such thing on your life, you're going to be lost without God.
My Lord, help us.
And I'm not going to paint you a picture of hell tonight because I probably couldn't do it. But I'm telling you, it's a real place. It's a horrible place.
Whoa.
And you're going there unless you get right with God.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Preach it.
Well, let me just go back a day or two here and get that rich man out of that place. Let's show you the picture of our lives every day. Here comes one of his brothers over. He's sitting up there in one of his fine overstuffed chairs, taking life easy, counting his money, talking to his stockbroker, saying, hey man, how's the stocks today? And the fellow was telling him what went up and what went down. He's telling him what to sell and what to buy.
Uh-huh.
And his brother came through the door. And he said, well, said, my brother's here. Said, you know, he's not pulling the full train in, huh? I guess I'll stop and kind of accommodate the old boy. But said, just keep them figures rolling in here, doctor. I'll tell you what, in a little while I'll be back on the phone to you. So he hangs up. He tells his brother, he said, well, I'm glad to see you. I'm a little bit busy right now. Just make yourself at home, get you something to drink, get you a smoke, and then I'll be around in a little while. He goes to handle some more business, and that's about the way he treats his brother.
Uh-huh.
Now let me preach this. After a while, another one of his brothers comes by. It's the same old cold shoulder treatment. His brother says, look, I thought maybe we could just sit down and talk. Man, it's been so long since we've even sat down and talked. And he said, well, I'm so busy right now. If I had time, I'd like to just sit down and, you know, go back over when we used to roll car tires together, you know. But I just don't have time. I'm so busy. And so here he goes and he leaves his brother. And the Bible said he had five brothers.
My Lord.
That's how many brothers I got. Every one of them means something to me.
Sure.
But if I'm not real careful, I can get so caught up in everyday affairs
right.
that I can pass every one of them by and never say, Charles, Don't you want to live for God, Charles? Wouldn't you like to go to church with me tonight and just pass them right on by? Are you getting this? Are you getting this yet?
Yeah,
young people, let me tell you something. Don't you be an influence or an adverse influence on anybody that you're around. You let them look at you and say, that young'un's got the Holy Ghost. That person has got the religion, a real true religion, a pure religion. Don't let them ever say they're a hypocrite, because the world looks right through you.
Right.
You can stand up. I don't care if you want to try it. You get up on your school, your auditorium stage, and get up there and start speaking in tongues and jerk around and say, woo-hoo, and tell everybody how much you got. They're going to look right through you. They can tell if you got it, if you hadn't.
Right.
And that goes for you men who work on your jobs, and that goes for you ladies who go down to the grocery store. They're looking right through you, and they can tell if you got it or if you don't have it.
Right. You're preaching.
Well, he had five brothers. It looks like he could have taken at least time to talk to one of them. But he just spent his time doing the things that he liked. But he died. And when he did, those brothers came around. You know, it's funny to me, and this has always been funny to me, how people can take out time for funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Brother called up the fellow and say, look, I just needed to talk, and you're busy. But if he dies, he'll sit up all night with a corpse.
How about that?
You hear what I'm telling you?
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
We rush because we think we've got to rush. But I'm going to tell you something. That soul you're talking to, that soul you're ignoring, that's an important person.
Amen. My Lord.
Five brothers, and he didn't take time to even talk to them. But he died, and he was buried. And I don't know what he thought it was going to be like. And friend, I don't know what you think it's going to be like when it's all over. You know, we went down to pick out Mama's casket, and this ain't nothing good to talk about, but I just want to tell you about this. We went down to pick it out, and for the sake of my mom, I wanted a pretty one.
Yeah.
So we bought a real pretty blue one. And inside it was nice. But that's not important.
That's right.
You've heard hard people say, well, just throw me out on the side of the road like an old dead dog. Well, you don't want that. Neither do I. But I'm going to tell you something. It'd be better that you didn't make any arrangements with your funeral director and you made some with the one who's going to bury your soul than for you to have a copper casket and your soul be in misery when you leave this life.
Right.
That man, listen, that man was buried. And he thought maybe that they would come around and visit him at his graveside, and he could really look up and say, well, there's old Johnny come to see me today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who believe that.
Mm-hmm.
They think when they die, they're just going to be in a new form, you know, and they're still going to communicate and all that business. I'm afraid for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm afraid for folks who think that way.
All right.
The Bible said he was buried, and in hell he lifted his eyes.
That's right.
Now you take your Bible and read into it anything you want or out of it, anything you want, but I'm going to believe what the Bible said. I believe when the man was buried, in hell he lifted his eyes.
Oh.
I believe when he was buried, he was in torments. I believe that. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say at the end of time. It just said he was in torments. I don't know all the theological explanations of it, but I do know this. The Bible said in hell he lifted his eyes. And his brothers were still alive.
Oh, God.
Now, you get out of that
one. Oh, God.
A lot of people don't think they're going to get in hell until that last day. But his brothers were still alive, and he was already there. And Jesus was the one telling this story.
Yes.
And I can tell that either you folks are listening good tonight, or you don't believe half what I'm telling you right
now.
But I'm going to try my best to bring you right up to the verge of this thing, let you look over in there, but don't ever put your finger, don't ever put your foot in. I want to keep you out of it if I can. That's why I'm preaching the way I am tonight.
That's it.
He woke up, and when he did, he was in hell. And he thought, oh no, this is not what I had in mind. I thought when I died, I would just kind of live in a life of peace. There would be seances I could attend. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if the dead were going to attend these seances that people say they have? I'm afraid for that kind of stuff. I don't believe in that. I believe that man lifted up his eyes in hell, and he was in torments, and he looked beyond. And this is the horrible thing about hell, is that you're not going to be able to forget nothing, and you're not going to be able to wipe it out of your eyes. You're going to see the people beyond the gulf, and you're going to know about the people this side of the gulf, and there's nothing you can do about it.
My Lord, that's right.
You tell me that man didn't try to get out of that pit. I promise you he did.
He tried.
Oh.
Oh, Lord.
Somebody told me not long ago, said, when you preach on hell, does the devil fight you? The devil fights me if I preach on heaven.
Amen. That's
he
right.
Fights me no matter what I preach on.
Right.
But I don't pay much attention to him. He's fighting a losing battle. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I can see that rich man. He thought about it. He said, oh, no. Can you imagine if he looked at his hands and the hair was all singed back and there was little brimstone flakes all over him and it was burning him and there was nothing he could do and he started screaming and said, get me out of here. And he thought in a minute it'll be over, but it wasn't over like a lot of people. You know, there are folks who preach annihilation. They say you just burn up like cellophane and that's it. No, I'm afraid not. He said, I'm tormented here. He wasn't just burned. He was tormented. And he couldn't get out of the flames. And he thought about Johnny. And he thought about Ray. And he thought about Billy. And he said, oh, I got to get out of here. And I got to go tell them, please don't come to this place. And I can see him as he clawed. He clawed and tried to climb. But it was a bottomless pit. And he couldn't get out. And he tried all he could. He tried, but he couldn't get out of that place.
My Lord.
Let's just suppose there was somebody else there. And they said, where are you trying to go? He said, I've got some brothers, and I've got to go save my brothers. I've got to get out of this place, and I've got to go tell Johnny not to come here. Listen, people, please listen to what I'm telling you tonight. You're going to try someday to save that person that tonight you don't care about them. Lift up your hands and let's pray. God, you got to help me tonight. You got to help me tonight.
Help us, Jesus. My God, we need you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, God, we need help. Convict those, Lord. Convict us. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Praise
sad God. Thing. He Amen. Tried. He tried to get out of there, and he couldn't do it. He wanted to go back. He thought about everyone's houses, and he thought, boy, I'd like to just go back. And while he was doing that, you know, it was torments. And he thought, I'd like to go back and just sit down there in the living room with old Johnny. I'd like to talk to that boy and say, listen, Johnny, I've been there and I know it's a real place. Oh, Brother Rutledge, if God would allow us to do it, but he won't, it would transgress his word. But if God would allow us to go and get somebody, anybody that you wanted, if we could just go and get them and bring them back, if we could get the one that you thought was the least of sinners, the one who did the least as far as wild living was concerned, and we could go bring them back and they could tell us, listen, just for one transgression, I went to hell. I wish we could do it and march them in here tonight. And I don't care what happened. I wish we could just march them in here and let them stand in my place and say to you, folks, there's really a hell and you don't have to do much to go there. I just didn't love a brother. I didn't love a sister. Or I lied or I stole or whatever I did. Not much. But I went to hell. I wish we could bring them in here tonight. I want to tell you, young people, you'd fall on your face there and you'd start screaming and crying.
Oh, God.
And adults, you'd do the same. Mamas. You'd walk out of this house, you'd run out of this house, and you'd find every son and every son-in-law and every daughter-in-law, and you'd clutch their clothes and you'd say, please, come with me to church. Don't be lost. You're going to go to hell if you're lost this way. Oh, listen, church, you've got to remember that we only got a few days to do what we got to do.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Oh, I'd like to get them back, he thought. I'd like to get them. I'd like to just talk to them. But he could go talk to him because there was some way he could get out of that place.
Oh, God.
He tried all he could, but he couldn't get out of that place. Mm-hmm. And then he looked off. He thought, forgot about his brothers. He realized it was a hopeless case. He forgot about his brothers. And he turned his eyes upward. And when he did, he saw a beautiful place out there somewhere.
Oh, glory.
And when he did, he saw somebody whose skin was spotless, whose features were changed. They were healthy looking. And something about it, he knew who it was. And he said to that one that he saw there, that he knew was Father Abraham, he said, Father Abraham, let Lazarus come back here and touch his finger in water and cool my parching tongue.
Right.
And Father Abraham said, not so, rich man. In your life, you had your good things, and Lazarus had his bad things. And now you're tormented, and he's comforted.
Right.
He said, oh, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And Abraham said, no, remember, you never showed any mercy. You never showed those who cried for mercy in your life. You never showed them any mercy. He said, please, let's forget the past. But you can't forget the past. The only way that'll ever be blotted out, Brother Jones, is for us to go through the blood of Jesus Christ, through repentance and water baptism and the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Forget it, Abraham. He said, we don't forget. The only thing we can do is if you'll repent, your sins can be washed white as snow. But it's too late for you, rich man.
Uh-huh.
He said, you mean it's too late for me? There's nothing y'all can do? What about all of heaven? Can't you get a bunch up there together and see if you can't do something for me? I'll promise you, I'll be a good evangelist. I'll help you. I'll do everything I can. He said, no, there's nothing we can do for you.
Nothing?
It's too late.
Oh, God.
And he said, all right. Could you just send him to touch his finger in the water and let him touch my tongue? I'd just like to have that. He said, no, we can't do that because there's a great gulf fixed between us and you, so he can't come there and you can't come here.
Oh, God.
And he said, well, I got one more thing I want to ask you. He said, I've got 5 brothers. And if you could have mercy on me, Abraham, please.
Mm-hmm.
They'd believe old Lazarus if he went back, told him he saw me in this place and that there really was a burning hell. Would you send Lazarus back and let him go to my brother's house? He lives on Oak Street. If you just let him go back over there, talk to Johnny. Especially Johnny, because Johnny's so bad. His life is so miserable. Would you just let him go back and talk to Johnny and tell him not to come to this place? That's what I'd like you to do. But Abraham said, no, we can't go from here back to the earth to talk to your brothers.
Oh, God.
And he said, I don't understand you folks. What kind of situation have you got? He said, listen, what we've got is a message to preach.
Amen.
I want you to hear this. He said, we've got a message to preach. Your brothers have got Moses and the prophets.
Right.
And if they'll be saved, let them hear Moses and the prophets. But if they won't believe the preaching of the Word of God, they won't believe one, though he raised from the dead.
Right.
And so we're not going to send him back. Is there anybody else that's lost out there? Yes, I've got 5 brothers. Well, let me tell you how they're going to be saved. By hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And if you don't get shook by the Word of God, there's nothing that'll stir you.
Nothing.
If God don't shake you up tonight, nothing will stir you up.
Right.
Lift your hands up and pray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 My Lord.
Let's stand to our feet right now.
Praise God forever. My Lord, move. Help us, Jesus.
Is there anybody else out there? Oh, yes, I got a friend. Is there anybody else out there? Yes, I got 2 brothers. I got a sister.
My Lord.
Is there anybody else out there? Yes, I've got a son. And I've got a daughter, and I don't know what we could find if we were to look through this old church tonight.
God, help us, Lord.
But wait a minute. They're not all beyond the walls of this church tonight. Standing in this house right now, there are people that if they were to take their last breath right now, they'd be lost forever. So there really is someone else out there. And we've got to try to save them some way. Head bowed, please. Sober your heart, friend. I hear the man with the bullhorn, and I see the sun going down, and I hear that eerie cry echoing across our soul's conscience tonight. Is there anybody else out there? Is there a man that knows he's in sin? Realizes he's headed for destruction. Is there anybody else out there? Is there a girl that knows that she needs to get right with God but would like to put it off another day? Is there anybody else out there? Is there a backslider that once made a start for God and got sidetracked and now they're living in sin? Are you still out there, backslider? Is there anybody else out there? There's somebody out there that never heard the message preached, was never instructed in repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and living a clean life before the Lord. Are you still out there lost? I feel Jesus talking to your heart tonight. And the word of the Lord says he won't always strive with man, but he is tonight. And I wonder, sir, I wonder, ma'am, young person, I wonder about you tonight. Would you make your way to this altar? Would you kneel here to repent before the Lord tonight while you still got time? Tonight and join all these that have come to pray. Brother Baloo, I believe tonight that you need to get serious.
Yeah.
Like you've never been in your life. You need to get serious with God tonight. I want you to pray Monday night and Tuesday night, but tonight, let's go over tonight. Let's get through tonight.
In heaven.
Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else out there?
To see someone born into the kingdom of God. Let's follow him with all our heart. Come on, pray and believe God.
Fire.